We present Crawford Logan as Paul Temple and Gerda Stevenson as Steve in Paul Temple and the Sullivan Mystery, a serial by Francis Durbridge. Episode 3, Introducing Colonel Marquand.
Where's the house, darling?
There it is, through those trees.
Oh, what a lovely place. Let's open the gate.
I bet they've got a wonderful view from those windows.
Yes.
What's that, Steve, over there?
Oh, it's a lake. It's certainly a lovely garden.
Yes. It's a pity it's getting dark. We could...
What is it?
Listen.
Get back here!
Paul, what is it?
There's someone coming, running from the house.
Paul!
Here he is. Look, he's coming down the drive. Hello there!
Who are you? Who are you?
Oh. Give me your arm. I'll help you.
No, don't touch me!
Paul, he's been shot. He's badly hurt. We've got to do something.
I'll get hold of his arm. We'll try and help him towards the gate.
No, don't touch me! Who are you? What are you doing here?
Just a minute, my friend. You're the fellow that spoke to me on the telephone. Are you Richard Sullivan?
No, I'm not. But I had to speak to you. I was made to speak to you. Oh, my back!
Potete vedere!
Gore andato!
Paul, there's someone coming.
Oh, don't let them touch me, please. Don't let them touch me. Oh!
He's falling!
Go on, I've got him.
Temple, listen. Listen. Whatever happens, get those glasses to Cairo.
Paul, is he dead?
Yes. Steve, listen. Take these glasses. Take them, darling. Now, go back to the gate and wait for me.
But Paul...
Do as I tell you. Go back to the gate and wait.
But you intend...
Darling, go back to the gate and wait. I don't want them to see you.
Yes. All right.
Chi siete? Che cosa fa qui?
Be quiet, Emil.
Chi è? Che fa qui?
Non so. State tranquillo, lasciatemi. La parlerei.
Who are you? What do you want?
What's more to the point, my friend? Who are you?
My name is Marquand. Colonel Marquand. Is this man a friend of yours?
Well, judging from appearances, he doesn't appear to have been on very friendly terms with anyone.
Is he dead?
Yes.
Gee, that's unfortunate. But he asked for it. If these scoundrels make a habit of breaking into people's houses, they must take what's coming to them.
Are you suggesting that this man broke into your house?
What do you mean, suggesting? He did! We caught him. We caught him red-handed. Didn't we, Emil?
Si. He very bad. He tried to steal everything.
There's far too much of this sort of thing going on. If the police won't take action, then we've got to take the law into our own hands. That's all there is to it.
You appear to have taken the law into your own hands, Colonel Marquand.
What do you mean?
He's been beaten up.
Yeah, I know. That was Emil. You know what these wops are like. They're darned impetuous. And look, we caught the guy red-handed. Emil went for him. There was a struggle. He broke away, jumped through the French windows, and... Well, I took a pot at him. I didn't mean to kill the guy. Frankly, I just meant to scare him.
You scared him, all right.
Chi è? Perché fa queste domande?
State da zitto,
subito. I had a phone call about an hour and a half ago from a man called Sullivan. He said he was staying with you. My name's Temple.
Oh. You're Mr. Temple. Gee, that explains it. That explains everything. Sullivan's up at the house. He's waiting for you.
But he said he'd see me at the hotel.
At the hotel?
Yes. Over the phone, he said, I'll see you in 20 minutes. That was at 6 o'clock.
Is that so? Gee, I guess there's been a misunderstanding. He gave me to understand that you were calling here. As a matter of fact, he's been waiting for you. Look, I think maybe we better go up to the house. Then I can telephone the police and you can hand the spectacles over to Mr. Sullivan.
Oh, so you know about the spectacles, then?
Yeah. And will he be glad to get them?
Romantic evening, should arrive a casa.
Si, signor.
This way, Mr. Temple.
I'm sorry I kept you waiting. I've been all this time on the telephone.
That's all right.
Police have identified that fellow. Apparently they've been on the lookout for him for some time. I gather he's a pretty notorious character around here.
Oh, would you like a drink, Mr. Temple?
No, thank you.
I have a very excellent port.
Not at the moment, thank you.
Mr. Sullivan won't keep you long. He'll be down in a few moments. How long are you staying in Augusta?
Just for the night.
Oh, you're leaving tomorrow, then?
Yes, I'm on my way to Cairo. As a matter of fact, I expected to meet Mr. Sullivan in Cairo. Came as quite a surprise to find that he was here in Augusta.
Yeah, he arrived this morning from Naples. Are you sure you won't change your mind and have a glass of port?
Quite sure.
Ah, here's Sullivan.
I'm sorry to have been so long, Colonel, but...
What's the matter?
What are you doing here?
I've told you who he is. His name's Temple. He's got the... Say, what is this?
It's really quite simple. We've met before.
Met before?
Yes.
Where?
We met at Bournemouth 2 days ago.
Only on that occasion, if I remember correctly, you called yourself Victor Armstrong.
Why didn't you tell me you met him before? You fool, why didn't you tell me that he was...
I didn't know. How could I know that this was the man you meant?
There appears to be a certain amount of confusion. Do you mind if I clarify the situation?
Well?
2 days ago, a girl called Joyce Raymond gave me a pair of spectacles and asked me to deliver them to a man in Cairo called Richard Sullivan. Tonight, when I arrived in Augusta, I received a telephone call from this house from a man claiming to be Richard Sullivan. That man was the person I met on the drive. The man that had been shot, the man that had been beaten up.
His name was not Richard Sullivan.
All the same, he was the man that spoke to me on the telephone.
For heaven's sake, don't let's beat about the bush, Marquand. If he's got the glasses, then...
Be quiet! I'll handle this. I'll handle this in my own way. Sit down.
If you don't mind, I should prefer to stand.
Sit down.
Well, since you insist, I'll sit down.
Now listen. And listen carefully. Before we go any further, I should like...
Before we go any further, I should like that revolver of yours a little to the right. Do you mind? I'm rather sensitive about... Ah, thanks. That's much better.
Mr. Temple, I'm a businessman. Purely and simply a businessman. Therefore, I'm going to play straight with you, put my cards on the table, and make you a proposition.
Everybody seems to be making me propositions these days. What is yours, Colonel Marquand?
What did Miss Raymond tell you about the glasses? What did she say when she handed them over to you?
I've told you what she said. She simply asked me to deliver them to a man in Cairo called Richard Sullivan.
She said nothing else?
Nothing.
Right. Now, Mr. Temple, for my proposition. You can either hand over the glasses to me now, in which case you can walk out of here scot-free, or you can refuse to hand them over to me, in which case I shall take... rather a delight in firing this revolver.
Of course, I may be prejudiced, but that sounds rather a one-sided proposition for a businessman to make. For instance, I much prefer the proposition I received this afternoon from Mr. Constantine.
Who the blazes is Mr. Constantine?
He's a gentleman I met on the plane. Apparently he, too, is interested in the spectacles.
What do you mean?
He offered me £10,000 for them.
£10,000?
Where are the spectacles? Where are they?
Did you sell them to this Mr. Constantine?
What would you have done, Mr. Armstrong, under the circumstances?
What Armstrong or anybody else would have done is quite beside the point. My guess is you still got the spectacles. Or if you haven't got them, you know where they are. Now start talking. Mr. Temple, I'm a pretty serious sort of guy. I take things very much to heart. You saw what happened to Thompson.
Thompson?
He was the man you met on the drive.
Oh, yes. I saw what happened to Thompson.
Thompson was a nice fellow, but he started to get sentimental. I don't like sentimentality, Mr. Temple, any more than I like stupidity. Now, just at the moment, you strike me as being very stupid. I'm going to give you 5 seconds to tell me exactly where those glasses are. If you don't tell me, I shall pull this trigger. 1, 2, 3, 4...
Fire the phone.
Okay, answer it.
Right.
If you've no objection, I think I'll change my mind about the glass of port.
Stay where you are.
Very well. May I have a cigarette?
There's a box on that table. You can reach it without getting up. Help yourself.
Thanks.
There's a lighter by the box.
You don't believe in taking any chances, do you, Colonel?
Well, who was it?
You were wrong about this fellow. Dead wrong.
What do you mean? Who was on the phone?
It was the man he told us about, Constantine, the man in the flying boat.
Well?
He wants to see you now, tonight, at the El Pesaro.
Why?
He's got the glasses. Temple did sell them to him for £10,000.
Did you sell those glasses? Did you? I'm going to give you 3 seconds to tell me whether... Look out! Look out! Hey. Get the revolver! Get the revolver! Oh, my wrist! Drop it! Drop it!
My wrist! My wrist, you're breaking it! You...
Drop it!
Oh!
Now, stand over there. Go on.
Don't shoot, Temple.
Go on. Further away.
What are you going to do?
Now, Mr. Armstrong, I want to know about the glasses.
What do you mean?
You know what I mean. Why did Mr. Constantine offer me £10,000 for them?
I don't know.
Why is our charming little friend down here so determined to get possession of them?
I don't know. I tell you, I don't know.
Look, I'm beginning to get irritated. I want to know about those glasses.
There's nothing I can tell you about them. Absolutely nothing. Other than the fact that...
Go on.
The first time I met Marquand was 6 weeks ago, in Cairo. He told me that a friend of his, a man called Richard Sullivan, had lost a pair of horn-rimmed spectacles and that he, Marquand, was prepared to pay £4,000 for them. At first I thought the man was crazy and that the whole business was a sort of practical joke. Later, however, he paid me £2,000 in advance and commissioned me to find the glasses.
Did you ever meet this friend of Marquand's, this Richard Sullivan?
No.
What were you doing in Bournemouth?
I went to Bournemouth to interview Joyce Raymond.
Did you? That's very interesting. When I interviewed Miss Raymond, or rather when she interviewed me, it was in London. Then for some reason or other, she took it into her head to dash down to Bournemouth. Why, I wonder? Incidentally, who told you about Joyce Raymond in the first place?
Marquand did. He said she might have information about the spectacles.
Did you see Miss Raymond in Bournemouth? Well, did you?
No.
You know what happened to her?
Yes, I read about it. It was most unfortunate.
Most unfortunate.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Did you murder Joyce Redmond?
No. No, I swear I didn't.
That place that Constantine mentioned, the El Pesaro, what is it?
It's a cafe.
Where?
In Syracuse. Oh, he's coming round.
Gee, I got my head. What happened? What hit me?
He's all yours, Mr. Armstrong. Give the gentleman a glass of port.
Paul! Paul!
Where are you, Steve?
I'm over here, near the tree.
Oh!
Are you all right, darling?
Yes.
I was beginning to get worried. What happened?
I'll tell you later, Steve. Have you got the glasses?
Why, yes.
Give them to me.
It's all right, Paul. I can take care of them.
Give them to me. Thanks. Now, what happened after I left you?
Well, that rather bad-tempered little manservant.
Yes.
He carried the man that was shot, down that path.
Which path?
That one. The one over there.
Go on.
I followed him part of the way. The path leads down to a private beach. There's a boathouse at the bottom. I stood watching him for a little while. It was getting dark, though, and I couldn't see very well.
What was he doing?
I think he was trying to put the man that was shot into a boat. After a little while, I felt frightened and ran back to the gate.
How far down is the boathouse?
Oh, about 300 yards.
I've got to report this business, Steve, but the trouble is, if I don't produce the body, nobody's likely to believe my story.
All right. Let's go down to the beach and have a look round.
Good girl.
You can tell me what happened in the house on the way down.
Of course, it's pretty obvious from his telephone call what Constantine's trying to do. He's obviously going to try and sell Marquand another pair of spectacles.
Yes. I wonder if Marquand knows the real spectacles when he sees them. You know, there must be something pretty big behind all this, darling. After all, Constantine offered you £10,000 for them, and he must think that Marquand's prepared to bid even higher.
Yes.
Did you ask him about the glasses?
No. As soon as he started to come round, I made a dash for it. Frankly, he's not exactly the sort of man you want to take a chance on.
He looked a pretty tough customer.
He's tough, all right.
How does Armstrong fit into it all?
Armstrong says he knew nothing about the glasses, but simply followed out Marquand's instructions. Frankly, I think he's telling the truth. I've got a hunch that Thompson, the fellow that was murdered, was in more or less the same position. You know, something frightened Thompson. Something I said to him over the telephone when he was pretending to be Richard Sullivan. I'm pretty sure that's how the row started and why Marquand went for him.
Well, you hinted that something had happened to Joyce Raymond. If he didn't know that Joyce had been murdered...
Then he might have jumped to conclusions about the murder and picked a row with Armstrong, yes. Yes, that's quite possible, Steve.
Be careful here, darling. There's a turning. There's the beach, down there.
There's the boathouse. Oh, I see it. It looks rather a tricky sort of path. Give me a hand. Do you think you can manage it all right?
Yes. Yes, I think so.
Watch your step.
No, it's all right.
Now be careful, darling.
It's not so bad here.
No, keep hold of my hand.
Oh,
steady. What is it?
Listen.
That's coming from the beach. There must be someone down there. Yes, there's someone at the bottom of the path. Look, Steve.
Who is it?
Come on. We'll soon see. Hold the torch.
Who is it?
It's that Italian fellow, the servant. The man that brought Thompson down here.
But what's happened to him?
He's been knocked out by someone. Hold the torch up.
Oh, look at his head.
He's only been stunned. He'll be all right in an hour or so.
Paul, what do you think happened?
I don't know. He must have been on his way back to the house. Someone must have crept up behind him and taken him by surprise. Anyway, let's have a look at the boathouse.
If he was on his way back to the villa, Paul, then he must have already disposed of the body, of Thompson, I mean.
Yes. Unless, of course... Let's have a look round, darling.
But, Paul, ought we to leave this man like this?
Well, there's nothing we can do for him. He'll be all right. Come on, Steve. Give me your hand. It's rather a luxurious sort of boathouse. Where's the door?
There it is.
Oh, yes. Now, don't make any more noise than you can help.
Yes. All right.
Door's locked.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Is there a keyhole?
Of course there's a keyhole, darling. The door is locked.
Yes, I know. But can you see through it?
No, it's far too dark. Wait a minute there. I've got some keys here somewhere. Ah, here we are. It's not much good, I'm afraid. Wait a minute, though. I think I've got one here that... Yeah, that's it. Yes. Keep behind me, darling, just in case.
Here's the torch.
Thanks.
The place seems deserted. There isn't... Paul! There's Thompson. Look! In the corner.
Yes, I see him.
That man must have just brought him down here and dumped... Paul, what is it?
This isn't Thompson. It's Mr. Constantine. Don't come too near, darling.
What's happened to him?
He's been stabbed. Hold the torch.
Is he dead?
Yes.
How long has he been dead? Do you know?
Oh, it's difficult to tell. But he's certainly been dead an hour or so, perhaps even longer.
But he can't have been, Paul.
Why? What are you thinking of? That telephone call to Marquand?
Yes.
Well, that can't have been Constantine. Can't possibly have been Constantine.
Then who was it?
I wish I knew.
Paul, what are we going to do? You'll have to contact the police.
Whoever made that telephone call is at the El Passaro Cafe waiting for Marquand.
Where is this place? In Augusta?
No, it's in Syracuse, about 12 miles away.
Oh.
We'll go back to the hotel and I'll phone the police from there. Then...
Then what?
Then we'll go on to the El Passaro. I'm rather anxious to take a look at this gentleman who claims to be Mr. Constantine.
You wait here, Steve. I'll go up to the room and telephone.
Yes, all right.
Oh, and you might try and find out how far this El Passaro place really is. If it's very far, do your best to get hold of a car or a buggy. Shan't be long.
All right, darling.
Oh, hello, Miss Fraser.
Oh, hello, Mr. Temple. You appear to be in rather a hurry.
Yes, I'm afraid I am.
Well, you know what they say, more hurry the less...
Your bag, Miss Fraser.
Oh, dear. Don't know why it is, but I always seem to be dropping my bag these days. I just can't... Oh, no, don't bother, Mr. Temple. Really, it's quite all right.
That's all right, Miss Fraser. Here's your handkerchief. And your comb.
Thank you.
And your powder compact.
Oh, thank you. No, please, Mrs. Temple, please don't bother.
Here's your purse.
Really, it makes me feel quite helpless. You'll hardly believe it, but do you know that's the third time I've dropped my bag in the last 24 hours? If it happens again, I swear I'll throw
Look
it.
Look out! Less...
Oh, my... So I nearly dropped the blessed thing again. Whatever is the matter with you women? You're a bag of nerves.
Are you just going to have dinner, Miss Fraser?
Me? Oh, no. I'm just going upstairs to change. Believe it or not, I've got a date.
A date? That's quick work.
Yes, there's life in the old girl yet.
See you later, Steve.
Yes, all right.
Good night, Mrs. Temple.
Good night, Miss Fraser. Are you engaged?
Where do you want to go?
We want to go to the El Passaro.
We?
My husband and I. He'll be out in a moment.
El Passaro? It's a long way. Cost a lot of money.
Well, how much money?
Don't know. Just cost a lot of money.
Well, how much?
How much you got?
Now, listen to me, Gordon Richards.
No. Pascal. Georges Pascal.
Well, listen to me, Mr. Pascal.
Count Pascal, if you please.
Count Pascal. Are you really a count?
Yes.
Well, I'm a duchess. Drive us to the El Passaro. We seem to have been travelling for hours, Paul.
Yes. I'll have a word with the driver. I say...
Monsieur?
How much further have we got to go?
To the top of the hill, monsieur. Then you will see the El Passaro.
What sort of a place is it?
Pardon, mademoiselle?
I say, I like that mademoiselle touch.
My wife says, what sort of a place is it?
You have not been there before. It is very nice. Everybody goes to the El Passaro at this time of the year.
Who runs the place? You know?
Honestly. Oh, the owner. It is a man called Schreider. He is a very clever young man. He has a cafe in Naples, a cafe in Palermo, a cafe in Brindisi, cafes all over the place.
Sounds a very clever young man.
You haven't told me what the police said.
I was rather lucky. I got hold of a man called Rossetti. Apart from speaking pretty good English, he seems a very sensible sort of fellow. He apparently met Sir Graham about 2 or 3 years ago, so that was a great help.
Did you tell him about the glasses?
I told him part of the story. The local people have apparently had their eye on Marquand for some time.
Well, what's happening? Are you meeting this man, Rossetti?
Yes. I've arranged to see him at the El Passaro.
Pardon, monsieur.
Yes, what is it?
There is El Passaro, monsieur, at the top of the hill.
Oh, yes. It looks rather nice.
We shall be there in a few moments, mademoiselle.
Buonasera, signore, signora.
We'd like a table for two, if you please.
You have reserved a table, signor?
No, I'm afraid we haven't.
I hate to disappoint you, signor, but we are very full. You can see for yourself.
What seems to be the trouble, Charles?
The gentleman wishes a table for two, Herr Schrader. It is impossible.
Nothing is impossible at the El Passaro. I have told you that before. If you will wait a few moments, sir, I will see what I can do.
Thank you. That's very kind of you.
There's someone waving to us. That man over there.
Where?
It's Mr. Darwin.
So it is.
He's coming over.
Well, hello. Fancy bumping into you two again.
Hello, Darwin.
What are you doing? Waiting for a table?
Yes, matter of fact, we are.
Well, join me. I'd be delighted.
Are you alone?
At the moment, yes. I am expecting a guest, but that's all right.
Ah, that's awfully nice of you.
Don't be silly, old boy. Delighted. Come along, Mrs. Temple. Bring another chair, waiter.
Si, signore.
Mrs. Temple?
Thank you.
Well, this is a pleasant surprise.
I hope we haven't butted in on a party or anything.
Oh, you nonsense. Of course you haven't. Cigarette? Oh, thanks, old boy. Have you been here before?
To Syracuse?
No, I mean here, to the El Passaro.
No, I'm afraid I haven't.
Hmm. Chap told me about it in Paris, oh, ages ago. Smashing place, he said. Absolutely smashing. By George, he's right.
It's certainly very gay.
He's a very bright lad, you know, this fellow Schreider, I mean. He's got cafes dotted all over the place.
Yes, I believe.
What time is it?
It's just 9:15.
Oh.
Is your friend late?
Yes, I'm rather afraid. Ah, here we are, at last.
I'm so sorry I'm late, Mr. Darwin. Good evening, Mrs. Temple. Mr. Temple, this is a pleasant surprise. Good evening.
Good evening, Miss Fraser. So, this is your date.
That was the third episode of the Francis Durbridge serial, Paul Temple and the Sullivan Mystery, with Crawford Logan as Paul Temple and Gerda Stevenson as Steve. Others taking part were Richard Greenwood, Eliza Langland, Angus McInnes, Michael McKenzie, and Nick Underwood. The production was by Patrick Rayner.